Parker from Park Nicollet Clinic, and I'm here with Lisa Brasseau, and she and I have been working on small business projects for the last going on 12 years now, and today we're going to present some findings from the Minnesota Machine Guarding Program, which is a NIOSH-funded small business intervention program. It's a randomized intervention, quasi-randomized, I must say, and you can see the other investigators. You can read the names. The purpose of this project was to evaluate the effectiveness of a peer-based technical and educational intervention designed to reduce exposure to amputation and other machine-related hazards in small metalworking. By amputation hazards, specifically referring to machining hazards and other machine-related hazards, things like flying chips parts, eye injuries, falling parts. And just as a quick background, businesses with fewer than 100 or fewer employees are responsible for the employment of almost 55-60% of the U.S. Private industry workforce. And approximately 98% of the 6.5 million private U.S. businesses have fewer than 100 employees. So we're talking an enormous segment of the working population here. 87% of those businesses have fewer than 20. And right now, actually, we're starting a project on the auto collision industry, which largely has 10 or fewer employees. They're very hard to reach. And employers are often reluctant to contact OSHA consultative services, primarily because it's the word OSHA, it's government. A lot of these folks are in business and private business because they don't want to deal with government, they don't want to deal with other people, so they just set up their own small business. Amputations are serious hazard injuries which are largely preventable and cause considerable disability and emotional trauma. In some of our sensor data, Sentinel Event Notification Systems for Occupational Risk data from the Minnesota Department of Health, one of the most common comments that workers made following amputation injuries was either A, they had removed, or B, there never had been a guard, and C, the incredible speed with which the injury took place. So surveillance data indicate a lack of safeguards as the most common contributing factor for amputations caused by stationary machinery and hand tools. Now, we only, in our study, we only dealt with stationary machinery. We did not deal with power hand tools. In the United States, it's estimated that there are about 9,000 workers suffer a work-related amputation each year. Now, that's not just in the metal fabrication, so that's all industries. And that's probably a decline of 10 to 15% over the last several years. So there has been significant progress in this area. Now, for the recruitment criteria for our study, we had select SIC codes, used to coding for my patients, select SIC codes, all in the metal fabrication trades. They had to have at least 5 workers in the shop. So that could not just 5 workers overall, but 5 who were working in the shop. No more than 100 total employees, though once or twice we deviated from that. They had to be in business for at least 1 year. We did that to be sure there was some stability to the business. There's enough instability in these trades right now, just to the fact that things are being outsourced to Asia. And allow for the assessment of the shop at the start of the intervention and 1 year later. And in addition, they also had to allow us to distribute worker surveys. Now, as part of that evaluation, we had 2 parts for the shop evaluation. One was an evaluation of the machines, which we're not going to discuss today, but it could come next year. We'll do a presentation, I promise. And the other was called a business safety scorecard. Now, just briefly, the machine evaluation was we developed checklist for each machine whereby we summarized ANSI standards and we summarized OSHA standards into checklists and then had those checklists vetted by 2 machinists, 2 people from the state OSHA program, as well as 2 machine engineers for their completeness. And then we determined which items were priority 1, 2, or 3 for shop owners to repair. And then we looked at inter-rated reliability before we proceeded with the study. The second thing we did was look at a business safety scorecard, which was an evaluation of the general business environment within the shop. So were the shop cluttered? Were there problems around the shop? And here are the 3 categories of items on the business safety scorecard. The general safety conditions, which are things such as lighting, a safety bulletin board, administrative and management policies, such as safety committees and meeting minutes, and work practices such as the use of protective eyewear, documentation of employee training. And coming back and looking at this sort of retrospectively now, I'm loath to admit that there have been some problems with this, and we need to redo it for our next study. But nonetheless, it's an interesting sort of approach. Now, the workers, we had a pre and post intervention evaluation. And we had a theory-based survey, and our intervention was theory-based in that we based all of our training using social cognitive theory. And we had four general constructs from that that we used: environment, reinforcement, self-efficacy, and situation. And what we did is we defined those, and rather than using sort of the traditional definition of those constructs within social cognitive theory, we redefined them using the criteria that we expected to evaluate, that we were evaluating within the shops. We made it very specific to the machine guarding trades. Environment had 10 questions we used to evaluate perceptions about safety equipment, training, and management support for and commitment to safe work practices. Reinforcements, we included 4 questions to measure perceptions of business policies and procedures that promote safe work practices. Self-efficacy had 9 questions to measure the level of confidence about the ability to work safely, identify safety-related problems, and communicate safety concerns. And situation had 4 questions which assessed perceptions of how machine guarding and safety procedures impact the ability to complete job tasks. And if you're interested in seeing this in more detail, actually, it's now in the online version of American Journal of Industrial Medicine. So this is actually officially published, and I don't know when the print version comes out, but if you just search David Parker or whatever in Medline, you'll find a copy of that. Questions were answered on a scale ranging from 1, which is strongly disagree, to 5, strongly agree. Wording of survey questions was adjusted for the respondent. So it was either employee or owner management. So, for example, the employee survey may say, management puts enough money into health and safety. The management version would say, I put enough money in case it was going to the owner. So we adjusted the wording very slightly so that it would reflect the different positions people had within the shop. Content validity was evaluated using structured interviews with board members. We had an advisory board of shop owners, of machinists, engineers, OSHA, and all the survey questions were reviewed by the shop owners and by this board. And surveys were translated into and evaluated in Spanish. After we did a pilot study. We actually didn't have any Hispanic workers in the pilot study. We went back, and after our first 2 shops, we realized there were a lot of Hispanic workers, and we translated the survey into Spanish and then reevaluated it. Analysis included basic descriptive statistics such as chi-square. We also used multiple and stepwise logistic regression to evaluate the relationship between the business audit scores, or this business safety score, and employee and owner construct scores. So the construct scores for both the 4 constructs within social cognitive theory. And in the latter analyses, meaning the audit scores and the logistic regression, the dependent variable was a dichotomous indicator of the presence or absence of a positive response for each business safety scorecard item. So, for example, if we said there is adequate lighting, that would be yes or no. So the response was yes, no, and we looked at whether or not those things incremented as workers rated their shop more and more favorably. So some basic results from the study. 40 businesses were enrolled, representing approximately 75% of invitees. Follow-up was approximately 95%. So after 1 year, approximately 95% of businesses participated. Businesses employed an average of 47 employees with a range, as you can see, 5 to 131. Sometimes the size would change between when we would enroll them and when they actually started to participate. And sometimes, you know, they wouldn't give exactly the right numbers when I went to recruit them. Of the 231 owners and managers, 156, or 68%, completed baseline surveys. And of the 1,437 production employees, 939, or about 65%, completed baseline surveys. And of the 18% of employees for whom English was not a first language, the majority, 61%, spoke Spanish. So, in general, as you might expect, though not by quite as much as you would expect, owners reported higher perceptions for all 4 constructs. So in general, owners reported that their shops were doing better than their employees reported they were doing. Employees and or owners and managers with less education, less work experience, or for whom English was a second language responded more positively than their more educated or more experienced peers. We were quite surprised by this. So for example, when we took Hispanic workers and we said, okay, What are Hispanic workers saying? Now, Hispanic workers had an average education of about 8th or 9th grade, whereas their non-Hispanic peers, who had largely been from the U.S., tended to have at least a high school education. The less educated, the less experienced, reported much stronger perceptions, meaning a more positive perception of workplace safety than the less educated peers, which surprised us. A positive and significant correlation was found between average employee and owner surveys responses for two constructs, environment, and you can see the R squared there, and reinforcement. And native English speakers tended to have lower construct stores than those for whom English was a second language or completed their surveys in Spanish, which is what I was just explaining. We went back and tried to explain this and have not been able to do so far. But a couple of our thoughts are that people might be coming from a much more adverse environment. The other is that Hispanic workers may be a bit reluctant to be critical of their employer and workplace. Now, for the business safety scorecard, the average business safety score was about 65%. So shops in general didn't do very well. Statistically significant relationships were seen between the number of employees and the business safety score. So the larger the number of employees in general, the better they did. Businesses with safety committees had significantly better business safety scores, 71 out of 100 or 71%, compared to those with no safety committee, 55 out of 100. So you really see a very strong effect here from having a safety committee. No significant relationships were found between business safety scores and personal and demographic variables. So question is, so what are some of the factors impacting safety scores? Businesses with lockout tagout records had a better than average. She told me 5. You tell me 2? Which kind of guys get it together? Okay, all right. Businesses with lockout tagout records had a better than average business safety score, 72 out of 100 points. The presence of a machine guarding training records and machine guarding procedures were associated with higher safety scores. And using regression analysis, the demographic variables of education, union status, and business size were not significantly associated with any of the four constructs. Odds ratios for response on the business safety scorecards and constructs. When all four constructs were included in one model, none were significant. But using stepwise model suggests that environment is the only survey variable associated with positive audit response. And the perceptions of environment, the proportion of positive safety audit. So what we're saying, as by the 3.7 odds ratio here, so every incremental increase in environment, the safety score audit results increase 3.7-fold. So as, is that clear? No. Not clear, but we don't have time to explain it. So, but more significantly, businesses with safety committees had a 1.7 to 2.1 times greater likelihood of a positive items on the audit than those without safety committees. So as you have a safety committee, your odds of having a positive response increased 1.7 to 2.1 times. And union status, and surprisingly enough, and business size were not associated with safety audit results in any of the models that we used. Again, that surprised us as well. Conclusions. Larger business size and the presence of a safety committee were associated with significantly higher levels of business safety. Stepwise regression indicates the perceptions of environment and the presence of a safety committee are the strongest predictors of high business safety scores. The environment construct was predictive of a safer working environment. And owners need to consider how management practices are likely to influence workplace health and safety and find ways to engage employees in health and safety processes. That's it. I think I'm running through it. I made it on time. To some extent, yeah. The smaller shops did not have unions. But unions were divided about 50-50. Safety committee wasn't necessarily correlated with union status. But shop size was to some extent, yeah. Do you have a question? One more question then. Yeah. Yes, and I think that the issue of safety committee, and you know, we've applied for funding, and actually what we're doing, and I didn't think of it in those words, but it's a great idea, because in our next proposal, what we've done is say, you know, you have to have something equivalent to a safety committee, which really speaks to collective effort. I take your question, except, oh, that collective effort would be a good measure. Efficacy.